Welcome to episode 430 of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's slowly sending its hosts to a farm upstate. In this episode, we talk about Free Guy, Pika, and Hagglethorn Hollow. I'm Patrick Hill.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
And I'm Adam Rourke.
So let's all head to the pet store to find a new best friend.
Hey, buddy.
Off every episode by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our week. For our patrons, that might have seemed like a hard transition, but for the people that aren't patrons, you're gonna have to pay at least $2 to find out what I'm talking about. This week, we have another special host. Again, Andrew's not here. You probably already know this. He'll be back, maybe. But in the meantime, Adam Rourke is joining us. Adam, say hello to everybody.
Hi, guys.
Yay. Hi, Adam.
Just clapping. Adam, who are you? What do you do?
That's a bigger question.
Okay, no. Not the existential piece.
Patrick.
You're a designer. What things do you like to design?
I am a designer at a medium-sized church, I guess. I do a lot of everything. I am the opposite of specialized. I don't know what you call that.
That's generalist. True.
A jack of all trades.
Yeah. Master of none.
Yeah. The thing is, like,
don't fit the podcast at all.
I want to echo this. Your work is always, like, wildly different. Now, maybe that means that, like, you fail to find your voice and then you'll just, like, drift off into nothingness as
probably,
an artist.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it also means that you've got, like, a wild, like, variety of styles, experience, whatever that you can bring to projects. I love seeing your stuff. Someone else that reminds me of a bit is Doc Reed, because Doc Reed can do stuff like on like opposite sides of the spectrum, in my opinion, when it comes to like medium or tool set or style. Like, it's just very all over the place, but in a good way. So I love seeing your stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah. Doc's like That's my awesome. Hero. He creative directed like a painting I was working on, and then I never like followed any of his direction and just never finished it. Love him. So sorry.
Yeah. Doc's great. Thanks, Doc.
I think that, you know, like people like Doc are, they have like a fine arts kind of like, maybe not, I don't even know if he's educated that way, but he certainly got like the skill set of a fine.
Yeah.
Arts.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I grew up. So like getting into design was like a weird, mishmash of things. I think, mm-hmm. you know, like designers tend to be, they're not always, but they tend to be more cerebral or more like they think about like the implications of what they're communicating, not just like the particular implications of what they feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of like why I do decent at both, is that I grew up loving art and then kind of found out that I am a little more maybe cerebral than most.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I have your playing card somewhere, by the way.
Sweet. I don't think I have any of those.
I think we gave
them all out.
Ooh. I think that's literally, that's like, I want to say one of the first pieces I ever like got from anybody. As far as like, you know how you go to a conference and like artists will like give away a piece of their art or whatever.
Yeah.
That is like literally one of the first things that I got. That was one of the first times we met, right?
Yeah, I know we met for the first time at Creative South. I think I hadn't really met you the first time we went, and I just found out about you through the conference because you guys were you podcasting that time?
Yep, we were for sure. We did our hot seats. But so for those listening, Adam and I have history, mm-hmm. and Adam has history with the show. So if I maybe rib on Adam a little extra hard, I'm a grown-ass adult. And I can do whatever I want to do. All right. So on that note, Lauren, why don't you kick us off? Because you've been quiet. So tell us about your week.
I will. I've been hanging out, getting out of the house a little bit, doing some stuff. And I'm still watching TV. And I'm dying to talk about Star Trek Picard, which has been out for quite a long time. But I just watched it this week. I'm actually like, this is my first full Star Trek thing I've watched this many episodes of in a row. I have a lot of like Star Trek exposure through lots of my friends being fans of it and lots of my ex-boyfriends being fans of it. But I've never really like sat down and watched like a lot of it. But we got Paramount Plus and my boyfriend wanted to check it out. So we were watching it and I got really sucked in after the first two episodes. So I'm like, okay, let's watch this. I totally recommend the show. I've heard a lot of people who have more of a history with Star Trek aren't as big of a fan of this show because it is very different from older Star Trek. And from what I have seen, I would agree. Yes, it is pretty different. But I feel like it's a, in my opinion, a very like modernized take on the ideas that Star Trek had. And so like, it's really fun to follow along.
Which community do you like better? Star Wars like or fandom? Star Wars or Star Trek?
Ooh, I mean, I'm certainly more of a Star Wars fan myself. But like Star Trek fans are kind of nicer sometimes. So there's different like sides to that whole war, but like I don't really have a problem with either. It's fun. I think both things are great. But I thought this was cool because like it is different than Star Wars in a lot of ways. Like I kept expecting that I would need to have watched all of the other Star Trek stuff for this to be interesting, which is why I wasn't necessarily keen on it right away. But like they actually have most of the new characters come in as like they do have history with Picard, but like they are new to like the whole universe. So like Trevor, who's seen every episode of Star Trek, has never seen these people either. He's like, oh, we're going to find out about them together. So it felt good, like, mixture of, like, there are some cameos, but it's not, like, everything, like, Star Wars tends to do. Because, like, I feel like in Star Wars now, like, you need to know, like, every planet that everybody was born on and, like, all this other kind of stuff to, like, because there's so many cameos. Like, Bad Batch is a perfect example. But, yeah, it's been fun. I really like the show. I would totally recommend it if you have Paramount Plus. Like, I haven't found a ton of things to watch on there, so definitely excited that now I have more Star Trek stuff to watch. I think I'm probably going to watch Discovery and see where we go from there, but I was, like, so hyped up after we watched this. I was like, oh, I want more. So I have a lot that I can go to now.
I have this assumption that I would probably... So the only Star Trek I've seen is, like, the trilogy that happened a few years back.
Which like, is just newer one,
like R.I.P. Anton Yelchin, is that his name? But I did enjoy those movies for the most part. I mean, sure, like going back, they maybe don't hold up quite as well. But in the moment, seeing them in theaters, they were plenty exciting and they were fun.
They weren't like god awful or anything.
No, they're not. But I'm just whatever. I'm sure that the universe offers a ton. I am afraid to try anything because it just feels like too much has already happened. The fans know they have too much insider knowledge or there's too much knowledge all in all. And it would take me too long to fully appreciate it. Like, I just don't know that I can put in the hours. I don't know that I'm willing.
So I
feel like it has to be a hobby to get into it.
Yeah. And I was worried it would be the same kind of experience, but like this is only 10 episodes right now, just the first season. And I found it like very accessible. Like I did ask Trevor some questions, but I don't feel like I wouldn't have enjoyed it if I weren't able to ask him stuff because I think I could have easily looked up the questions I had. Because a lot of it is like, oh, did he know this person before? And I, again, really think that's like Star Wars influence lately where they like bring in every cameo possible. So I just assumed they're going to bring back every actor they can. They're just going to chalk it up with cameos. It's going to be great for people who've watched the show forever. But maybe that's also why people don't like it as much.
Yeah. Adam, have you watched any Star Trek stuff?
I tried really hard. I had a professor in college, a humanities professor, and he is very intelligent and very eccentric. And he loved Star Trek. We literally would just like skip class sometimes and watch Star Trek with him.
That's awesome.
He liked it because of all the like the philosophy and the science fiction and stuff that it explores, which is much more that vein than Star Wars, which is, you know, a space opera. I see the value in it, but I'm with Patrick. I feel like the it's kind of stacked against me where I'd have to have a whole, you know, textbook worth of knowledge to be able to get into it.
I thought that was going to be the case, and I did think this was fun. So maybe watch the first episode, see if it grabs your attention. If not, just let it go. But they do a good job, I think, of explaining what you need to know within the episode. So, like, yes, they are giving you a lot of information sometimes, but it's not, like, undigestible. But it was fun. I really liked it. And so other than that, I did want to talk about the Spider-Man trailer leak, because that's fun.
Yeah.
So, Adam, you said you hadn't seen it yet, but it is not much to see. It is very hard to see. It's unfinished effects, and it's like filmed on somebody's phone, like on another phone, and so it's like moving a lot as you watch it. So, and I could barely hear it on
the copy. Yeah, it's a phone recording of someone holding a cell phone. The audio is terrible. It's only a couple pixels. I tried to watch it this morning. Like I apparently it leaked. So we're recording earlier in the week, but it leaked at the end of the day, Sunday, I believe. And so I tried to watch it when I woke up this morning, and I don't know. It seemed maybe pretty cool, but it was so hard to understand. I was watching it on a phone.
It made me slightly seasick watching it. You know,
I was on a phone watching a phone recording of a phone, and it was just. I can wait for the real thing. I can just wait till the actual one comes out.
I will say, though, from what you could pick up in the trailer of like what I could see in here, I do think. Are you guys familiar with the storyline of One More Day in Spider-Man?
No.
So this was a comic run that came out after Civil War, and Civil War in the comic books happens a little bit differently than in the movie version. And Spider-Man had agreed to join Team Iron Man because Tony was like, yes, you're going to have to reveal your secret identity, but I got you, bro. I will look out for you and your family. It's going to be okay. It does not turn out okay. The Kingpin kills Aunt May, and like Spider-Man is like really upset because he's like, I don't know what to do. All these enemies know who I am. My life is ruined. My family's life is ruined. This sucks. So he goes to Mephisto and asks, goes to Mephisto and asks for him to erase everyone's memory that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. But in order to do that, he has to make everybody who knows him forget him. So he has one day left with Mary Jane, and like that's the story. But it definitely has like some vibes of like some of this might not come back the same.
I think
it seems really interesting.
I know. I think I heard someone say that it's the story of A Christmas Carol.
It kind of looks like it a little bit. Or like for DC fans, Flashpoint, maybe another reference that seems similar, but like where they time travel and they come back and it's all messed up.
Yeah, of this like you want this thing, but if you actually got the thing you say you want, here's what it would do to your life and to everything. So
yeah,
who knows?
Here are all the consequences.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how it actually pans out. I will say, so Adam, you mentioned that it might just be like a fan made trailer, whatever. This would be impressive. If this is a fake trailer, I will be massively impressed. It has the watermark of who it went to, and who it went to is one of the VFX specialists on the movie. It has unfinished VFX in it. So it has some finished and some unfinished and some mixtures of it.
And some are like wireframed unfinished. Like they're truly not done.
But the editing, the cuts, it has content we haven't seen before. It has, like, the way it's put together, it feels incredible.
Lots of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, incredibly legitimate. So, again, this is a fake. Like, hats off to them. That's an impressive group of people, but it feels very real. And
so
someone's career is
like
ruined.
It's not, does it seem like it's not going towards the multiverse thing?
No, that's absolutely a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, it very clearly does in the trailer. I guess in fairness,
so what
we don't need to give anything away from the trailer. People can wait and see it if they choose to see it.
Yeah.
But it very clearly is multiverse.
Yeah. And so I brought up that storyline because he kind of, you see him like talk to Doctor Strange. Yeah. I'm not going to say anymore. Sorry. I shut up.
I know.
I started down the path.
But you can go if you look for it, you can find it. It's not like it's been scrubbed from the internet. Just look for Spider-Man leaked trailer, and you can find videos and breakdowns from people and all that kind of stuff. So if you're just someone that has to know, you can know. But that's it.
I wonder if they'll drop the trailer sooner the official trailer sooner because of this leak. But who knows?
So it's supposed to premiere, and again, this comes out on Wednesday, so timing's not quite right for what I'm about to say. But it's supposed to premiere at the beginning of this week at another festival. And so the trailer is about to have its world premiere this week, or at least that's the rumors that it's this week, which means it could potentially drop right after. So who knows? Before the week is out, we could get the full trailer.
Or it's a misdirection, because if you think about it, you have all these VFX shots that are going to cost you millions of dollars to finish. If you put out a fake trailer and then like mislead people with a bunch of scenes that aren't in the movie, and like you just like say, oh, well, these are unfinished VFX shots, then you can completely mislead people from like what the trailer will actually be without spending as much money.
Or maybe in the movie, Peter Parker is learning how to do VFX and we're actually seeing his progression in the trailer.
I would bet Ned is making like a Spider-Man video game and it all goes haywire.
It doesn't matter what the plot is. I'm going to watch the film. That's
isn't that
pretty
the
much
plot of the one with the one with Mysterio in it? That's basically the plot of that movie.
I guess
it's
so.
Not. It's
video,
not.
It's like special effects gone
haywire.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not far off. Surprisingly, I will say, like in general, for Marvel films, there's actually very few that I'm excited for. I had no desire to see Black Widow. I still haven't. We talked about the fact that I had no desire to see. Great, but I don't know that I have desire to see Shang-Chi. I probably will because there's not much else to see right now.
I was like, the hype train's pretty hot right now for Shang-Chi.
86 on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever it is.
I want to see it only because I loved Kim's Convenience and the show doesn't exist anymore, so.
It doesn't. Yeah, well, we talked about Kim's Convenience a couple months ago. So, I didn't want to see Falcon and Winter Soldier. There's been a couple because they all have, they've been too Marvel-esque, if that makes sense. Like, it's just, it feels very dated at this point, in my opinion. Spider-Man, just the character, Tom Holland, his kind of charisma that he has is enough that I want to see whatever they do. It's kind of the same thing with Ant-Man. Like, I want to go see Ant-Man because, like, Paul Rudd just has a charisma about him, and so I don't care how, like, it could be a horrible movie.
Everyone
that
has their favorite
enjoy
superhero.
No. Well, I have lots I don't like. Like what's that guy with the bow and arrow? Not going to watch that guy. He looks like an idiot.
That show is going to be good, I promise.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, anything else, Lauren?
One more thing to talk about. On the day that our episode will drop, you can also watch The Newly Dead, my brother's What We Do in the Shadows fan film. You can go to foolishgents.com or The Newly Dead and check out the short film. It is hilarious and wonderful and great, and I hope you all get a laugh from it.
I've been watching the character unveilings on Instagram. Yeah. So I've been watching those as they pop up. But stylistically, it all looks good. It'll be interesting to see what it actually is. honestly, like probably the vegan zombie so far. The girl.
Okay, yeah. She's like the energy vampire.
I don't remember names, Lauren. This is all so brand new. I've just been introduced to it, okay? I don't know.
Well, I was trying to explain. But yeah, everybody in it is great. I recommend following everybody involved. Check out the film. It's going to be so much fun.
All right. It's great. Foolish chance. Who are you throwing it to?
Adam.
Tell us about Heroes and Villains.
Okay, so Heroes and Villains. I hate most nerd clothes. I think they're usually like really gaudy. If you hang around graphic designers for any period of time, there's like three outfits maximum that you're going to find like at a conference. You're going to have like the guy who's like really well-dressed and he's going to have like no graphic tees. Right. And then you're going to have the guy who's like, you know, probably in a hoodie and, you know, there's not a lot. And then you're going to have the graphic tee guy. And there's really not a lot of, mixing match of that. It's all kind of, you know, very distinct things. Yep. So Heroes and Villains started putting out stuff that's actually really like cool looking, and they're nods to nerd culture rather than being like really on the nose about it. So you know, I have a hat right here, which I know we're on a podcast, so it doesn't really matter. But
you can describe it to us.
Yeah. So it says Guinevere on
That's
it.
Awesome.
It's got a Black Panther. It looks like an old school trucker cap or something. You know, a designer just is gonna see.
It looks
this
like something
looks
like
really cool.
Is it Black Cat Design? What's his name?
Yeah.
It looks like something he would do for sure.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of like Clark Orr's Hellcats.
Yeah,
that kind of
Hellcats. Yeah, exactly. That's totally. I said Black Cat. Hellcats. That one exactly. Yeah.
What's crazy is that this is actually like an obscure character from Dungeons and Dragons. And you can see the D&D logo right there. It's just super clean, and like it's obscure enough to where, you know, if you're like me and you don't really want to be hassled about like the things you wear, I work for church, and you know, wearing D&D stuff is not necessarily going to be smiled upon all the time. So I have some really cool stuff that I got from them that is like low key, you know, kind of showing your true colors without.
I would totally. Happened. So here's the problem. Y'all may not know this. I can't wear backpacks. Every backpack.
Oh, there you go.
Makes me look like I'm like on my way to first grade because it's so tiny. It's like 50% of the size it should look like on a normal person. So if ever I see a backpack, I can't buy it because I'll just look like an idiot. But
this is such a cool backpack.
This D&D backpack that they have is so rad. So it's got a super like vintage, that'd probably be 70s like looking logo. It's got
the like rainbow sunrise.
It feels like one of the kids in Stranger Things would wear it.
Totally.
Yeah. The bungee cords in the D20 shape.
Exactly. So it has bungee cords on the back of it where you like clip stuff too. But they make up a very clear D20 shape, which is awesome. And then it's got a nice little vintage D20 patch on the bottom. Like, that stuff is rad, man. Like, I could totally
but that's like, how many. What's crazy is it's made for it. Like, so there's like a dice tray and a mini holder. Like, it's made
to,
like,
I saw that come up on the side.
Have, like, portable D&D sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I love their stuff so much.
Look at that beanie.
Like,
oh,
they
my gosh.
Do so many cool things. And yeah, like you said, they're not like over the top with like the fandom thing where you're like, oh, look at the guy wearing a dragon shirt, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I was that kid in middle school, so I like that it's a lot more like subtle nod to whatever you like.
Did you wear
like,
all they have flamed clothing?
I had several shirts like that, yeah, for sure.
I hung out with those but, like, guys, but I didn't wear that.
See, so you were stylish, the one of the group.
No, I absolutely wasn't. I wore like Carhartt Carpenter jeans and Napoleon Dynamite t-shirts.
Yes. But like, I love that, like the whole Ahsoka thing that they did where it's like just the colors really that she wears and then like her symbol on her head and that's it. And like Star Wars people know, but no one else will.
Yeah, they have some really rad bomber jackets too that like are like... that, you know, like it looks like you're from the Rebel Force or something like that, but it's so low key. It's not, you barely
it's
notice
so good.
It.
They make really good Zelda stuff too that I've seen. Like, they have like Link's hat sort of, but it looks much more like a regular winter hat that is really cool. I love that one.
Can I say something that will inevitably alienate a portion of our fan base?
Sure.
Great.
Drum roll.
When I see people wearing like if you have a shirt that just has like Spider-Man and Venom on it or something like that, I immediately think you're lame. Like, I think there's a good type of nerd and a bad type of nerd. And I assume you're the, if it looks like you bought this shirt at like a GameStop or a Hot Topic, then you're like the bad type of nerd. And
I would just say you're unfashionable.
And I want to buy you a stick of deodorant. And I want, like, I don't know. It's just, so like this, I would see this and I would think like, okay, they've got their life together. Like, they're mature. They're like, they can hold a conversation. But like, I don't want to be seen wearing the other stuff because I look down on the people that wear the other stuff. Like, I judge those people very harshly.
Yeah, that's, I think you're gonna have to cut this whole section out, but I think it's more about like you know, like it's like what Lauren said. It's more of like a fashion thing. It's like there are like if Harry Styles wears a Venom and Carnage T-shirt, it's cool. Like, it doesn't matter that like it doesn't matter.
A couple
matter.
Rips in it though. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably like a $300 T-shirt that someone found in their mom's basement, but you know.
But do you kind of understand what like even
no,
if
I
you aren't
totally
as judgmental
understand
as
what
I
you're
am.
Saying.
You understand like a little, at least a tinge of that.
Yeah.
I think it's like that classic nerd like stereotype, you know, and it that just like plays into that very hard in my head, which is why I don't like wearing clothes like that, you know, because then people immediately are like, oh, she's a nerd. Like,
well, and I think there's a part of it.
I mean,
too,
I know people know that anyway, but.
And this is just a me thing. So there's a part of it, too, which is like I'm a fat guy. So I never want to be seen like eating a pint of ice cream because like that would destroy my life. If there was a picture of me being fat, eating from I had ice cream in my mustache and like, I was like, I had a tongue out, like, oh, her next bite. Like, that would be...
make anyone feel bad.
That would be devastating. And so because of that, it's like, if we're going to hang out, I'm not getting dessert. I'm going to drink water. Like, you're not going to be able to put that on me. And I think that's what I'm doing with the nerd. Maybe it's because that's what I want, is to wear this stuff. But then, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's actually self-hatred.
Yeah. I don't know, though?
I'll go talk to a counselor.
I feel like you need to be able to eat ice cream, Patrick.
Yeah, I was like, I'm worried about how much anxiety you have about what other people think.
I'll go talk to someone. It's okay.
What's your address? We're just going to have everybody send you lots of ice cream.
Yeah.
Better.
All right. It looks cool, Adam. It looks cool.
I think so.
What else you got for us?
So, again, very late on this one, but like Harry Potter had a 20-year release of their Lego set.
20 years late.
Yeah, just kidding. A little bit. Well, if you're like me, I grew up not being allowed to be associated with Harry Potter. And so when I got older, I missed out on all those dope Lego sets. And
yeah,
you know, I'm allowed like one absurd collection. And so mine is Harry Potter Legos. And yeah, the sets are just amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen them yet, but they're
okay,
beautiful.
So I think what you said is really funny, because like I grew up like being very involved with Harry Potter, like reading the books as they came out and everything. But I didn't have the Lego sets because they came out after all the stuff. And I was like in college and had no money, and let alone like space for a Lego castle. And they are all amazing, but we used to like basically try and make our own characters from that, because like they didn't exist then. But they're so cool.
Yeah, they're amazing. I think like it's weird they did do one thing that I'm not sure about, which is they changed the color of the roofs and the little spires. Up until now, the sets have had gray tops, and now they're green randomly. I know older sets, like the ones that I can't find, that are like $1 million on eBay, they all have green roofs and spires as well. So not sure what Lego's up to there, but it's weird. They're sick. We buy all of ours, and we have a rule where we keep them put away. And then at Christmas time, usually it ends up being around Halloween, we put them out, and that's our village. So it's Halloween and then transitions to Christmas.
That's even better.
So if you're like really looking for an excuse to buy Legos as an adult fan, then you should definitely talk your significant other or whoever controls the funds in your home of purchasing Lego sets, because it's a great alternative.
For holiday decorations specifically.
Yeah.
Because I like this idea a lot.
Yeah. Hogsmeade just came out, and Hogsmeade actually has like snow on the top, which is just going to look amazing under our Christmas tree. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. There's I was like, I would have so much fun like decorating it for Halloween and then Christmas. Like that would be really fun.
Yeah, we're trying to be intentional about like timelines and stuff, which means we're super deep into the nerd. But
I was like, do you have Thanksgiving in between?
Thanksgiving is like an extension. It's really all one big holiday for us. It just starts at Halloween and then ends somewhere in January.
I love it.
But yeah, we have the Diagon Alley set, which was like a limited release that came out last year.
Nice.
That was like what started like making us realize we kind of had to go all in on it.
Yeah, this Hogwarts Icons Collector's Edition, so this doesn't come out until September 2nd. This thing is beautiful.
There's also a chess set, the Wizard's Chess, which I thought was super smart. So you could actually play Wizard's Chess, but it's all made out of like little Lego minifigures. It's pretty neat.
That's really
clever. That's insane. The detail on that is just stupid.
The bottle itself is made of Legos. It's not just a bottle.
Yeah, and then they're filled with colored Lego to give you like the color of what it
would hold.
Yeah, and
it even has little Lego cork and everything. It's adorable.
Yeah. That's a really rad set. So, Icons Collector's Edition. And some of this stuff I think maybe like you can get Hedwig. Is that the owl's name?
Yeah.
Yes. You learned so much. I'm really proud.
Oh gosh, it's still so stressful. You can get a standalone. You can get a standalone Hedwig, but then also you can get Hedwig with this set as well. And it's got like his invitations, his glasses. It's got different potions. And his wand.
I like that. Yeah, they made this like scarf so you can switch out the colors. That's really clever,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, super rad.
Chocolate frogs.
And this little guy right here, I forgot its name.
It's a snitch.
A snitch! Yeah, that's right. Lilo and Snitch. Got it. Dude, that's
they
awesome,
get
man.
Stitches.
Man, is that it
I
for
love
you?
It.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna take it, and I just have a couple real quick things to go through. Gosh, there's so much good stuff. Two things. One, finally DMing my first campaign, and I just wanted to give
you're DMing.
I'm DMing a campaign.
Whoa.
And I actually just wanted to give a shout to Will. Wait, Truin. Ah, it's close enough. Truin. Who knows? Will. Who DMs over on Dungeons and Designers. So just a big shout to him. He's super talented, awesome guy, and he gave me some advice. And then also Andrew Kolb, who's DMing our Neverland campaign, he gave me some advice, and they all gave great advice. And so I've started on inside the starter set. If you get the D&D starter set, which if you go to Target, you can pick it up for like $20 or $25, something like that. It's not very expensive. And it comes with kind of like the rules to play. It comes with a campaign or a scenario that takes you up to level 5. And it's for 4 to 6 players plus your DM. And then it also comes with like a set of dice. And so we're jumping in that. I believe it's called The Mines of Phandelver. Or I think. But the idea is that it takes place around Phandelen. And we just started this past week. It was our first one. And it's a bit like nerve-wracking being a DM. Like you feel like you wield a lot of
on.
Yeah, like you're expected to know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But by doing this starter campaign with a starter set in the way they lay it out, it's really, really simple to get into it. Here's my advice. If you're gonna DM campaign, this is A, start with this one. But B, as the DM, not as someone playing, but as the DM, go watch Dungeons and Designers. They've already run this campaign, and just watch 2 or 3 or 4 episodes of it. See how the DM interacts with people. Understand like how a DM responds to situations and responds to characters and involves other people. Watch what Will does, and then just wield that in your D&D campaign, and you will do very, very well. Oh my, it's amazing.
I'm assuming you're familiar with like the granddaddy of them all, though, right? Like you've seen Critical Role, right?
Yeah, but why would I promote Critical Role when I can promote Dungeons and Designers?
Yeah, well, I will also just say, like, I've listened to some Critical Role, and like I actually like Dungeons and Designers better, but I probably like just again alienated a bunch of people, but whatever. But I love what they do, and I learned so much about D&D the way that they do it, because like as at least a very beginner player, they're asking a lot of questions in the middle of playing, so I learned so much about like how D&D works listening to their podcast. So yeah. Dungeon Designers is great.
Yeah, absolutely. So for sure, check it out. And they're on YouTube, so you can actually like see faces and see the maps of what they're doing. It's all very well produced and put together. So youtube.com/mof1podcast, something like that, you'll find it. And also, Will is in our Slack. So if you're planning on DMing a game or being a part of a game, and you go like, I have questions, just message Will, and like I said, Will Truin, whatever his last name is, he will be happy to help you. He's great. So that's the first thing, DM my first campaign, and last thing is Reservation Dogs. This is the new show on Hulu. I believe it's executive produced by Taika Waititi, and it takes place on a like I guess Indian country on a reservation in Oklahoma, and it's a group of, I mean, really, kids that make up this gang of sorts. And
A gang of youths.
And there's a rival gang that's been introduced. And so you're seeing these kids on the reservation. You're seeing this mix of certainly white culture meets reservation culture, but then also the lot of history meets modern times. And it's so... Oh gosh, it's pretty bizarre in the best way. Like it's bizarre is not the word. It's like it's just like beautifully odd to watch.
It reminds me of like the vibe of like Napoleon Dynamite, where you're just like chilling with these people, and like yeah, they're kind of weird, but they're so fun to watch. Like,
and everybody is fun to watch. You know,
yeah, I like every character.
It's interesting to me that, so I, believe me, I know nothing about the culture of growing up on a reservation. And yeah. even, and so I can only imagine how enjoyable the show would be if you had that bucket of knowledge. But even not having that, I find it captivating. And I, having grown up in a fairly backwards small town, can still apply a lot of this to, you know, my experience growing up. I still see a lot of like similarities and stuff. But again, mm-hmm. if you have the knowledge of that environment, I'm sure it's going to hit even harder than it does for me. But very, very funny, very quirky. You're just hanging out with some characters. And so far, there's 3 episodes on Hulu. I think the 4th is going to drop this week. But yeah. absolutely, absolutely, absolutely worth a watch. No doubt.
Totally.
Great. Dope. Perfect. All right. So with that said, that's it for Around the Table. Up next is our Master Categories. Master Categories is the part of the show where we talk about the categories we got from the dice we rolled the week before. That's maybe or maybe not how we say it. But with that said, we've all rolled dice. We've all got categories. We're going to talk about them, but I am going to talk first. I just really am wielding this power right now, and I'm talking about movies, and I'm talking about Free Guy. Free Guy is the film with Ryan Reynolds. That's all you need to know. Ryan Reynolds. I mean, there's other people. It's really primarily Ryan Reynolds and Jodie Comer.
Steve from Stranger Things is in it.
That's right. Isn't Joe Keery or Keery is in it. And then, of course,
you can tell how much I care because I know his name.
And then Taika Waititi is actually in this as well. So this is this is my, I guess, Taika episode. But yeah, it's the story of a artificial intelligence that lives inside a game. Right. It's a game world, and it's a bit of a Truman Show. I'm trying to think of the other mashups that I'd put in it, but it's someone that's becoming aware of, oh, I am a digital being, and there's a real world outside the world that I live in, but I'm just this construct. And then that person goes on to, fight for the world they love. There's a plot in there, but it's not needed. I mean, it's very useless. It's pretty shit, honestly. Just there's no need to pay attention to the plot. They wedged a love story in it because you just wedge a love story in every film, and I have a big problem with that, but it's what they did. More importantly than that, there's a really big buddy romance in it, like bromance, and that's probably the part that honestly I wish they had stuck with. Like, I wish they had got rid of like the love bit and really focused on the idea of like these two dudes that really get like, they just go from good dudes to like
become best
dudes.
Friends.
Yeah. Like I honestly wish that was the love story. Like, it doesn't have to be romantic. Yeah. It can just be this relationship gets be like stronger. So very disappointed with that. Plot's pretty terrible. It involves a game, right? And so therefore programmers and developers, all that's trash. They clearly did not have an on-set consultant because it's all complete gibberish that they're saying. It doesn't make any sense. So if you're technically minded that way, not only will that not enhance the movie for you, but it'll probably make it worse. All of that said, terrible plot, terrible romance, inaccurate at all. My word is Ryan Reynolds so compelling as a person. Like, it is amazing to me.
I thought this was going.
Well, yeah, I know. And I should mention his bromance with Lil Ray Howery, but they're Guy and Buddy are their names in the film. But they're just so compelling. Absolutely. Like, I went in the film with the expectation that, like, it'll fill 2 hours. Like, it's something to do. I didn't expect to, I don't even know that I expected to like it, frankly. I expected it to be something that occupied my mind for a bit, and then I could go back into the real world. And I actually mm-hmm. found myself liking it more than that. Now, how much more? I was expecting a 6, and maybe I got like a 7, maybe. You know, I'm not saying that like this is not
a solid C.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but like I was expecting like D+, and then I got a C. You mm-hmm. know, like that's kind of what happened for me. There are some funny jokes. I mean, there was probably three times that I laughed out loud. Other than that, Mainly just a couple like sharp exhales through my nose. a chuckle. You know, like a little chuckle. But lots of very quick humor. So a lot of the funny jokes weren't like the larger setups. Like if you think in terms of, okay, so we just recently all watched Suicide Squad. In Suicide Squad, there's a couple jokes, but they'll spend 10 minutes setting up the payoff for this joke, okay? That's not how this movie functions. This movie is someone says something, and someone quips back in 5 seconds, and that's the whole thing. So it's a series of quips, but a lot of the quips land really, really well. The other thing is you get a bit of, well, you get a decent amount of pop culture references because it's a video game world. They clearly had, whoever was in charge of the licensing department did a pretty dang good job of getting properties to license, a good enough job that I am not going to spoil those for you. Because if you go watch the movie, you're going to have some moments of like, whoa, didn't expect that to be in here. Because of some of the licenses they pull out.
Interesting.
Pretty impressive.
Like video game stuff, I assume?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there's okay. There's stuff that, and in fact, there's at one point, it's almost like a montage of cycling through all of these weapons that like you know from popular video games and using them. And it's like super cool to see, right? So I would say that for that, you may get some enjoyment out of that, just seeing all of these video game things used in a live action world. And then again, a lot of quips. Interestingly enough, though, having left the film, I can't remember any of them. I would normally say it's a bad sign. I would normally say like, well, it must not have been that good. I legitimately think I remember one joke from the entire film. So again, C.
Might be forgettable, but you had a good time.
The good thing is maybe this is the good thing. Maybe because the romance is involved, you can take your significant other and you can get them to get on board with going to see it, and then you can laugh along with Ryan Reynolds for a bit of time. So ultimately, I would say it was worth the watch. You can certainly watch it in your home. I would say it's a movie you want to pay attention to because you will miss the quips, right? Like you there because it's this very like kind of quick back and forth. You need to be paying attention to the film when you watch it. But ultimately, like don't have any expectations from this film other than you're paying to see Ryan Reynolds' charisma, and that's the film. And if you're cool with that, if that gets you excited, you're going to really like this film. So that's Free Guy. Either of you
planning on seeing endorsement of Ryan Reynolds.
You guys want to hear something super weird? So this whole time you've been talking about this, I was having this really weird sense that I've seen Ryan Reynolds in a movie where he realizes he's in a video game. And so I looked on IMDb, and sure enough, there's a movie called The Nines that
he was in. I've never heard of this.
I'm pretty sure it's like, you know, it's before anybody cared about like what he was up to or whatever. And it's not, I don't think it's like they're not as on the nose about it being a video game, but the implication at the end seems to kind of imply that the whole time he was in a video game.
It doesn't seem like a comedy.
Oh, interesting.
No, it's they call it a psychological thriller.
Okay.
I just thought it was funny that apparently he's been in a different version of the same film.
So
full circle.
I wanted to do this before today. And this is on me. I did not take the time to sketch this out. So let me go ahead and apologize for this. But I want to go back through and look at Ryan Reynolds' filmography. Because I get the sense that he's done this wave of rom-com to dramatic or like action star. And now he's sinking into like comedy. And he's worked out to be decently believable in each. But I was thinking in terms of Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis was like rom-com. To the point that when he was cast in Die Hard and he showed up on the picture, like it was laughable. All right. The poster, I mean. In fact, I believe for the first film, they actually pulled him off some of the posters because it was like a joke to see Bruce Willis, who's this rom-com star, pretend to be an action star. Well, now that's the only, like, that's the only way we see Bruce Willis. I mean, since Die Hard came out, for Bruce Willis to have a soft side, it's always played as a joke because he's like, you know, like Expendables.
He's Die Hard.
G.I. Joe and Die Hard. Like, he's that type of guy, okay? And I feel like Ryan Reynolds kind of has done the reverse of that now. Like, I feel like he was at a period where he was doing all the action star or all the dramatic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he decided to soften up instead. And then he's been incredible now. And like, he's fully believable as this other type of role. But I do feel like we had this string of like more serious, like, you know, Ryan Reynolds. And again, I don't have proof of that. I know I need to go back and like actually look at the chart of his filmography to validate that opinion. But that's how I remember it.
But like, I wonder if like what role Deadpool played, because like that's straight up a action comedy. So like, and he's hilarious in that movie, like inarguably. So like, maybe because everybody's like, oh, he's so great in this at being funny, well, cast him as a comedy guy from now on.
Well, it, like, certainly worked out well for him. You know, you get the sense, whether or not it's true, you get the sense that Ryan Reynolds is very in control of not only the projects he does now, but also the marketing around the projects he does now. I mean,
see Deadpool.
Yeah. And literally all the properties he's been involved. Well, he's basically brought Deadpool to every property he's been involved with since then.
Yeah, that's why I meant that. Yeah.
But like, you get the sense that he's very, very in control of that, and masterfully so. So who knows if that is the case? He comes across as very impressive in how he is taking control of his career. And now, what he holds in his hands as an individual, because it just seems like it's whatever he wants at this point. So, so Free Guy would suck with anyone else, but it's fully watchable with Ryan Reynolds. All right, Lauren, why don't you tell us what you've got?
All right, so I had food and past, and my food kind of fits in the past for a few reasons. So the food that I'm going to talk about is a dish called hika. And it's like a traditional Hawaiian dish, so past there. But it's also from a past contestant on Top Chef. You guys know that I love Top Chef. And one of my like favorite contestants, Sheldon Simeon, just put out a cookbook. So he released like a couple of the recipes for people to try online, like before you buy the cookbook. And I always wanted to try his food. Like, I watch tons of cooking shows, and like, you just have to always imagine what their food tastes like based on what they're describing. And I always thought his food sounded like so good. So like, I've tried to look up like where his restaurant is, but it's in Hawaii, so like, I'm not gonna get to go anytime soon. So I definitely wanted to try this cookbook recipe. And so hika is kind of like somewhere between like a braise and a stir fry and a little bit of a soup. It's like very different from things I eat normally, which is like why I thought it would be fun to talk about. But it's very easy to make, actually. So there's a lot of steps in like the prep work, but it's just cutting up vegetables. It's not hard. So if you like look at the like the recipe, it looks long, but it's really just cutting up vegetables. And literally all you have to do after that is just throw the chicken in the pot and let it sear. Throw in your aromatics, throw in your vegetables, and then throw in the like broth mixture and let it all stew together for a while. And then you're ready in about 30 minutes. So it's really, really tasty. And it's one of those dishes where it's like traditionally like just made with like whatever's left over in your fridge. You kind of like throw it into the stew. But this is sort of an elevated version, and I will have the recipe linked for you guys to check out. And so this one has like chicken thighs and tofu and tons of vegetables like bok choy, spinach, carrots, baby corn, like all these good things. And it's just like so tasty, and like it feels really healthy even though it's like super hearty. And the broth is like just a little bit sweet, which kind of like does give me that like kind of tropical sort of vibe. Like maybe like if you had a little bit of like pineapple juice or juice of any kind of mixed into the broth, that might kind of give you the same idea. So I really liked this. It's very different from things I eat normally, but given how easy it is, like, I think it's totally worth trying if you're looking for something different to eat at home.
I'm disappointed that you're not preparing this in front of us. Like, this seems like
I have it in my fridge.
It seems like we've gone full on cooking show right now. And so now I'm disappointed we don't have like a live demonstration. It wouldn't help our patrons very much, but it would have made this more exciting for me.
Well, I can go like get it from the fridge so you could at least like see what it looks like.
You just take all the ingredients you have, you put them in a bowl, You put that under the counter, and then you pull the one out of the fridge you've already prepared. That's the trick.
Amazing. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I would do. I had to make a couple amendments to the recipe just because our grocery store didn't have some of the Asian ingredients, but they had things that were similar enough, like vermicelli noodles instead of glass noodles, so it's like all good. I just, you know, I think it's definitely one of those dishes where like everybody would make it a little different if you had it made by somebody else. So like fair
which,
game
which
to
chef
kind of
was this
make your
own
you version.
Following?
Sheldon Simeon. He is wonderful. I'm putting this picture in the chat now, or the recipe link, so you guys can see pictures. Yeah, it's super tasty. It takes longer to cut up all the vegetables than it does to like actually make the dish. And I did it where I just took the time to do all that before I started cooking, because like I had more time that day. If you did it while you were cooking the other parts, it would go much faster. Really tasty. I've been like super bored with like my own recipes lately, just from like eating at home so much more this last year and a half and whatever. So like having some new recipes to try has been really fun, and I really recommend this. Yeah. The one thing I will warn is that it makes so much food. So make sure you make it in a really big Dutch oven or like a big soup pot and have a friend to eat it with you, because it does make a lot of food.
I'm hoping I draw food. I've been watching a ton of Kenji Lopez right now, and I want an opportunity to talk about Kenji, but that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, that's what I've got. So Adam, it's your turn.
I'm going to talk about Haggledorn Hollow. This is a bit of a niche in a niche. So I don't even know how many listeners will even know what I'm talking about. But there's a whole world of terrain building for tabletop RPGs. And so I got really into that by way of, I got into 3D printing first and then did that for a while, and then got really into D&D, and they kind of mesh together and make this awesome world where you can literally, like, basically, if you can imagine it and you have the skills and the tools, you can print it and play in it. And so you get kind of deep in the rabbit hole, and I found out this Kickstarter, it's already done, but you can go ahead and do a late pledge. A guy named, I'm going to look this up, Johnny Fraser Allen. He's the senior conceptual designer and sculptor at Weta. Because I was watching a Tested video, and I don't know if you guys know what Tested is.
Sure,
it's
yeah.
Adam Savage. And he actually was touring the Weta studios, and in one of the episodes, he meets this guy, and he's got, like, this big table set up, and the guy looks, like, really disheveled and tired. He's wearing, like, a big old comfy cardigan, and he's just like he even apologizes later and says, like, I was not expecting what happened after that, but he loves the labyrinth, and he actually did some 3D sculptures for the labyrinth board game, and so there he's got like direct access to these IPs, so he starts building out the actual labyrinth, and while he's doing it, He finishes out all the characters for the labyrinth, you know, that they're all, you know, 28 millimeter or whatever scale for RPGs. Mm-hmm. And then says, well, I want to keep going. And so he starts working on some other stuff. He started building some woods called the Wandering Woods, which is crazy. These, like, it's like basically anthropomorphic trees, like a tree that looks a little bit like a dinosaur. Yeah.
That totally sucked me in instantly.
Freaking beautiful. Everything he does is amazing. But it's got a very Henson-esque vibe to all of it. And and so from that, he expanded into doing, like, wizard's towers and all kinds of really cool buildings that work great on a mini scale. And made the system modular, so it's, like, easy to pick up and play and move things around. And he shows this off, and then he did another episode on Tested where he showed it off again, like, fully realized. It's an awesome set. So a lot of people bought them out very quickly on their first Kickstarter, which was like the actual, these were like casts, I guess, of the originals, where, you know, and they sold out really quickly in game shops and stuff. And now they're releasing the SDL files. The SDL files for print. Yeah, 3D printers.
Shit.
So this guy has access to Weta's 3D scanning technology. I'm assuming that's how.
Oh my gosh.
He's pulled these in, but these sculpts are all hand sculpted, not sculpted in something like ZBrush or you know, a 3D sculpting software, and you can print them, and they are freaking beautiful. And I am just so excited about starting to get some prints done on these.
So how much are the files? If you want to, do you have to buy the files?
I think to get the full set, you can go to Printable Scenery, which is like a pretty well known like site for people who do this kind of stuff. I know Luke uses Printable Scenery a lot. And if you go, it's like the first thing they have on their website is the Hagglethorn stuff. And the all in late pledge is $90, which is just like, it might seem a lot to someone who's not like familiar with like the 3D printing world, but it's
stupid
cheap.
At this picture. Yeah, yeah. Like for how much stuff you're getting, that seems really cheap. Yeah.
Well, this is thousands of hours of sculpting. Like,
yeah.
And he's selling it to you for $90.
Well, and in fact, in the original Kickstarter,
these are incredible.
If you were to purchase all of the pieces, now if you were to do like the big pledge, now in fairness, a couple of them came with like three pieces, but it would have been $1,200, $1,400, something like that to actually purchase them initially. So for you to spend $90, now of course. Obviously, you have to have the actual resources to print them.
Right.
But assuming you have access to a printer and you're gonna buy all of your, what's it called? You can print as many objects as you want to. So if you choose to really build out your world, then you're going to be saving a massive amount of money over actually purchasing these. Now, if you want to purchase them, you can purchase like painted or unpainted models, like already printed, obviously, but man, the idea of getting to print these and then paint these yourself, that sounds awesome.
It's amazing.
This is so cool. These are so detailed and awesome too. Like, yeah, they're so cool to look at. Like, I've just been staring at pictures the whole time while we're talking because they're so cool.
the tree dinosaurs are everything. You were really into like the labyrinth and stuff, so I figured you would really enjoy the aesthetic. But
yeah, I was like, if he made the labyrinth, I would buy it probably. Or I'd keep it.
He did. I don't think that they, I don't know if they have any pictures of it in here. They might.
I think I'm just now finding one, or it looks like it could be maybe.
But I'm pretty sure it's included, and they just don't call it like, you know, they can't call it like the actual name. It's not, like fun. It's not, you know, produced by the Henson Company, but I'm pretty sure he gives you all those files.
Even I looked up the ones for the Labyrinth game that you mentioned as well. Like, those are really nice ones, and they are like the regular D&D mini size, I think.
They're insane.
That looks awesome.
Here's the thing, too. Cool. Last thing, you don't have to play a tabletop game to enjoy these. Like, if you just want to paint, like if painting a miniature sounds exciting to you, or again, if you have access to a 3D printer or something like that, you could always just buy this stuff and paint it.
You could also make this your Christmas and or Halloween town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you absolutely could. Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't. Okay. Thank you, Lauren. You've just helped me a lot. Because people do that thing.
I just got you a 3D printer, probably.
They buy those ceramic figures and they make Christmas town and they put them on their coffee table.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we could just make our, not you and I, it would be me and Mackenzie to be clear. But, I mean, you can help. I don't care, but we can
very
make
crafty.
Our own Christmas town. Oh my gosh, I love this idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun. I used to be like very much on the side of like, you know, miniature people are weird and like,
whoa,
I thought, like those guys who were like
called little people, and that's very offensive. Wow.
Everyone is a little person to you, Patrick. you think of the guy wearing like the conductor hat and he's like, you want to see my trains, like, you know, in the basement, and like that's all I ever thought of. And then I started playing D&D and I was like, I totally get it. It totally makes sense to me. It all clicks. And like, and
I'm
you're
so
like
bad
yeah
at painting.
This
I'm
is so
bad.
Much fun.
It is it's incredibly fun, and I just suck so hard at it.
Yeah,
I love
it. Is awesome.
Tiny detailed things, so this just like speaks to everything I like.
And as I cannot believe Adam said that he hates tiny people. It's just so mean. We'll put that on the episode artwork. That'll be the quote.
Please do.
This art.
Please
yeah,
do.
For sure.
Yeah. It's just me like the end of the IT crowd.
Adam hates miniature people.
It's like Jen in the IT crowd, the last episode where she like throws coffee on the
just done.
Beautiful. All right. Is that it for you, Adam? Great. Well, that's it for our episode. You can find this episode, show notes, links, reviews, all those type of things at mv1.network. You can also check us out on your favorite podcast listening software, whatever you call it. So iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and other places. Spotify. That's one. I've heard the experience is horrible there, but you can check us out on Spotify.
I mean, Apple Podcast sucks now too, so what have we got left?
Honestly, man, we live in a world of shit, right, everybody? All right. But then also at our website, mf1.network, you can find our archive. You can listen to past episodes. And then, of course, from there, you can join our Slack family. So if you go to mf1.network, click that Slack icon and join. You can join. I think we're almost up to 400 people now in our Slack, and it's a lot of like creators and artists and really talented, smart people. So if you want to feel better than other people, it's a great place to go. The other thing you do is patreon.com/mofonepodcast, where you can support the show for $2, $4, or $6 a month. Your support helps us hugely. For instance, one time I accidentally threw away a $350 microphone, and you paid for that. So thank you, Patreon. But yeah, again, $2, $4, $6. If you pay, you get unedited episodes. We had probably a good 15 minutes in this episode that is not going to make the final cut. You'll get to hear that. And we also have special content that comes out as well. We're working on some very, very awesome things for you in the future. There's other things that you can probably do if I can think of them, but you can follow us on socials, just /mof1, podcast, basically anywhere that's social. And they can also follow us guys, meaning you guys, cause I deleted my socials. Lauren, where can they find you?
You find me at Not Cool Company everywhere.
Adam, where can they find you?
Adam Rourke Design.
And I didn't say this before, but subscribe, like, rate, love the show. That's so important. Listen, you sharing the show is the most valuable thing you can do for us. You liking the show is the most valuable thing you can do for us. Adam, have you liked, rated, and reviewed the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew he had. I wouldn't have asked that if I was worried, because I wouldn't have put him on the spot like that, but I knew he had. But everybody, go be like Adam. Go be like Adam. All right, with that, I guess we'll get out of this episode. I'm Patrick.
Dice.
We have to roll dice! Now is where we roll to determine the categories we're going to talk about next week. Adam, you are going to roll, because you're going to roll for whoever is going to be sitting in that chair next week. But while you figure out how that's going to work, I'm going to go ahead and roll for myself. And I rolled an 8. What's an 8 going to be, Lauren?
You got design. Fabulous.
You've got design. And I rolled a 1, which is... Oh, no, I did roll 2. I had present, so I got a past design. Great. Lauren, what are you?
I've just realized I might have messed up with, I remembered those numbers being on the 1 through 4, but whatever. I got a 4 and a 4. So this week, that is business. Damn it. Adam, please save me by rolling another 4.
If he doesn't, I'll totally trade you, but go ahead, Adam.
What am I rolling? Am I rolling a D4?
You're rolling a D20 and a D4.
A D20 and, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So just type that into the Google and go for it.
Yeah. I got an 8 on the D20.
Oh, that means I got to re-roll.
Oh, you got to trade.
So that would have been designed, but now we got to re-roll. So let's re-roll the D20. So roll again. I got a 12.
13.
12. Oh, cool. So you got music now, Patrick.
Well, that's terrible.
And Adam, you have games now.
Good. Okay, so that's
I have business.
Are we trading music for business, Lauren?
No, I don't know what's worse. I'll take music, sure.
All right, I'll take business. All right, we're done. Yeah. We cheated. Yay. All right, and with that, we're going to end the show. I'm Patrick.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Adam.
Bye.
Adios.
Jesus loves you, and I tolerate you.